Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
So tonight and next Wednesday night, I want to invest our time together on how to resist the devil. A lot of people today don't even believe there is a devil. Well, I'm here to tell you that there is a devil, a real devil. He's a real being. He's a real personality. And he is out to steal, kill. Well, better than me talk about it, let me show you from the Word of God. So I'm going to go to the board, and we're going to begin. How to resist the devil in John chapter 10 and verse 10. John 10, verse 10, the thief comes. Now that's the devil. He's a thief. He comes only in order to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So now let's stop right there for a second. Anything that comes into your life that tries to steal from you, tries to kill or destroy your life, your family, your health, anything that comes into your life that tries to give you doubt, unbelief, fear, worry, and panic is not from God. It's from the thief. It's from the devil. God does not put fear or panic or worry or unbelief or doubt or bad things on his people. So it's real important in spiritual warfare, in living a victorious life, we've got to know what to receive and what to resist. We've got to know what I should be receiving, and we've got to know what I should be resisting if I'm going to win in this spiritual battle that we're all in. So he says the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have it. I love this verse. And enjoy it. I love that. Have abundant life and enjoy abundant life. He said, I came that you might have and enjoy life, and you might have it. Look at the words that I've highlighted. Abundance to the full till it overflows. So anything that tries to destroy my marriage, my family, my relationships with my family, my mate, my parents, my children, anything that comes into my life that tries to steal my health, my finances, my job, my career, anything that brings me condemnation, guilt, unhappiness, depression, discouragement is not from the Lord. What's that mean? You need to resist it. You need to resist it. Don't receive it. It is not God's will. God's word is God's will. And here we have the contrast between good and evil, between God and the devil, between a terrible life and an abundant life. It's God's will that you and I have life, enjoy life, 2020 in the fall, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's God's will for you and for me. So I want to share with you how we resist the thief, how we resist the devil, what we need to resist, why we need to resist, how we need to resist the devil. So I want to give you three points. And the first point, going back to the board, we'll put it up here on the screen. The devil attacks your mind with thoughts and feelings. The battleground where this is all fought is in our mind, is between our ears. That's the battleground. And the devil, he comes to attack us. How does he attack us? You see, here we are going into Halloween. If you're waiting for the devil to show up at your house with a red suit, horns, and a pitchfork, you're going to be hit off guard. He's not going to show up that way. The devil doesn't come in through the back door or the front door with a red suit, pitchfork, and horns. No way. How does he attack you? With your thoughts and with your feelings. Can you say that with me? Host, would you help me? He attacks you with your thoughts and with your feelings. That's huge. So let me give you the scripture for that. It's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, and we're going to read through verse 13. So we're in warfare, and the warfare is spiritual, and the warfare is in your mind. You see, the devil first attacks our mind. And if we stop and meditate on those thoughts and feelings long enough, they drop into our heart. And when they get into our heart, they change our behavior. And we go from a winner to a loser. We go from an overcomer to being overcome. We go from winning in life to losing in life. We go from positive to negative. We go from faith to fear. How does that all happen? Where's the battleground? In our mind. What does the devil use? Not a pitchfork. What does the devil use? He uses thoughts and feelings. Let me show you from the Word. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. So strength comes from a relationship with God. Strength comes from a relationship with God. And we can help you with that relationship here at Church on the Rock or online. Go through our growth track. Go through our classes. We'll show you how to have a relationship with God and how to get strong. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union, relationship with Him. Draw your strength from Him. Not yourself, but from Him. That strength which His boundless might provides. Verse 11. Put on God's whole armor. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier. And if you're a Christian, you're a soldier in the army of the Lord. He said, put on the whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully, even in the season of COVID, that you will successfully stand up against. Now, the word resist in the Bible, we also see it with the synonym of to stand against or to withstand. So to stand means to resist. To withstand means to resist. To resist simply is spiritual warfare. In fact, the good fight of faith is all about resisting the devil, his thoughts and his feelings that he sends to our mind. So put on the whole armor of God, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you might be able to successfully stand up against. Can you say that with me? Stand up against. We need to know what to receive and what to resist. We need to know what comes from God and what comes from the devil. We need to know how to withstand, to stand against, to stand and resist the devil. And the devil's not going to show up here at Halloween with a red suit, horns, and a pitchfork. He's going to show up with thoughts and feelings to depress you, to defeat you, to distract you. If you meditate on those long enough, they go from your head to your heart. And whatever is in your heart, you begin to believe it. And whatever you believe, you begin to act it out. The devil wants us to act like a loser, like a whiny baby, to give up, to give in. The devil wants us to feel bad about ourselves, bad about our life. He wants us to be depressed, discouraged, and defeated. But you and I, like Pastor Kim said earlier tonight, when those thoughts and feelings come, we need to resist them quickly. Say, devil, get, shut up, and get out of here. In Jesus' name. So put on the whole armor of God, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you might be able to successfully to stand up against all the, I think the King James, don't miss it. This service is all about this. This is the big idea. That we're able to withstand, stand against, stand, resist against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. That's what it says in your King James Bible. Here in the Amplified, it says the strategies of the devil. The wiles and the strategies of the devil. If we're going to win in the battle we're in, when you get into an arena, years ago, when I was in high school, I was on the boxing team. And when I got in the ring with my opponent, I wanted to know their weak points and their strong points. I wanted to know their strategies. I wanted to know what they were good at and what they were so not good at. That would help me defeat them in the ring. You and I need to know the wiles and the strategies of the devil. Well, what are they, Pastor? Thoughts and feelings. There it is. It's not a pitchfork. It's not real darts. It's not real arrows. It's not horns. It's not fire from a fire-breathing dragon. That the wiles and the strategies in this context is the thoughts and the feelings they create. That's what the devil uses against us to defeat us, depress us, discourage us, and to distract us. Illustration, go back in the Bible, the very beginning in the book of Genesis. And at the very beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden, what did Satan come to Eve with? A thought. He came to her with a thought. She thought on it way too long. It created a feeling. Whatever you're feeling, you begin to move towards acting out and behaving. So this whole mess we're in the world today, all happened with a thought that created a feeling in the life of Eve in the garden. So we need to know how to resist the devil, withstand the devil, stand against the devil. A spiritual warfare is all about resisting. Spiritual warfare is not about fatigues like I have on tonight. It's not about getting in a jet and flying over a nation. It's not about climbing up a mountain and a bunch of people saying a bunch of things. Spiritual warfare takes place in your mind. Spiritual warfare is all about thoughts that create the feelings that will defeat us as believers. So we need to arm ourselves. Amen. We need to know how to resist, to withstand, and stand against the devil and tell him when he comes with that thought, shut up and get out of here in the name of Jesus. So go back to the board. Against all the strategies, and what did I tell you? In the King James, it's your word wiles. But what is the strategy of our enemy? He uses thoughts that create feelings that if we give into them by thinking on them long enough, defeat, discouragement, bondage, addiction, mistakes, wrong relationships, hurts, offenses, if we meditate on them long enough, they move from our head, they get in our heart. And remember, whatever you have in your heart, you believe. And whatever you believe, you behave. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do, is act like losers, whiners, defeated people with no future. So he says, against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil, verse 12, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Now, I come from Iowa, and you know what? Growing up in Iowa, it still is today, the sport of wrestling was huge and is huge. I remember when I was in high school that during gym class, we were wrestling, and I was on top of this other guy, and I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was too close to him with my head over his head. I had him like this. I was on top of him. He pushed his head up like that, smashed my nose, crushed it. He didn't break my nose. He crushed my nose. I'll never forget. They called my dad. My dad came, got me. They ran me to the doctor. I know all about wrestling. My dad took me to the doctor, and they took these steel prongs. I'm sorry. They took these steel prongs, and they put up my nose, and they began to, my nose with mush, begin to snap, crackle, and pop, and get it back into place. Wrestling isn't always fun, but when you go into a wrestling match, you need to know your opponent. If I had only known that's what he was going to do, I could have avoided it. And I could have put him on the mat. Same way with the devil. If we're going to resist the devil, we have to know his strategies, his wiles. We have to know his deception. And what is it? He uses not a pitchfork at Halloween, not horns, not a red suit, not fire-breathing dragon. He uses thoughts, 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 and feelings, feelings, feelings. And if we meditate on them long enough, they go from our head to our heart, and whatever is in our heart, we believe, and we'll give up. And as your pastor who loves you, I don't want that to happen to you. So we're wrestling with flesh and blood. We're not. We're contending only with physical opponents, but we are in a spiritual wrestling match. We're in a spiritual fight against evil spirits, against evil spirits. It's a spiritual warfare. He lists four levels of Satan's kingdom. There are four levels. Just like in God's kingdom, there are different levels of angels. In Satan's kingdom, there are different levels of fallen angels. So he lists them against powers, dispositions, master spirits who are in the world, rulers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness and heavenly supernatural sphere. Verse 13, therefore, because we're in this match, because we're in this fight, because it's spiritual, it's not natural, it's supernatural, because in this we need to know our opponent, the devil, and his league and team of fallen angels, demonic spirits. We need to know what their tactics are, his strategies, and what does he use? Thoughts and feelings. And if we don't resist them, like Pastor Kim said, immediately we begin to meditate on them, we falls into our heart, and now we're dead meat. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you might be able to do what? Resist. Can you say that with me? All you watch party leaders, all you small group leaders, our hosts, who I love very much, say it with me three times. Resist, resist, resist. There's where I get the title for tonight's teaching and for next Wednesday night. That you might be able to resist. So as your pastor who's equipping you by the grace of God only, through COVID, I need to show you how to resist the devil, why you need to resist the devil. So resist and stand your ground. Resist and stand your ground. Resist and stand your ground. That's huge. So resist is another word for withstand, withstand, or stand against, or after doing all you know to do, you stand. How's that work, Pastor? Well, probably about 100 times a day, you have to resist those thoughts and resist those feelings that come from the devil. How do I know they're coming from the devil? Because if they're coming to kill you, steal from you, destroy you, that's not God, that is the devil. God is for us, not against us. So we'll go back over here, Ephesians 3:16. Put on the complete armor that you might be able to resist and stand your ground. I remember one time growing up, my brother Rick, who's now in heaven, he's 6 years older than me. So right now, if he was here, he'd be 72. And I remember one time, I was just a little guy. He was in a junior high, going into high school. And I remember a neighbor kid came over to our house. We lived in a town kind of like Mayberry, if any of you know what that's like, or can I just say Numeli, or a little town. There's only just a few thousand people. So everybody kind of knew everybody. And I was out playing in the yard one day, and the neighborhood kid came over, and he started picking on me. He started picking on me, and I don't know where my brother was, but he saw it. He came out, and he stood behind me. And I didn't realize he was standing behind me. And all of a sudden, the kid that was picking on me stopped picking on me and scattered out of the yard. And I looked back there. My brother was 6'4". He weighed 265 pounds, played football. I looked back there, and I saw my brother Rick. And what was happening there? He basically was telling my opponent, the neighborhood kid that was beating up on me, he's drawing a line in the sand. Don't touch my little brother. Don't touch my little brother. He was standing his ground. You know what? I think we need to stand our ground for our marriage, for our children, for our children's children, for our health, for our career, for our ministry, for our church, for our nation. I think it's time we draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough and stand our ground and say, devil, you shut up and get out of here in Jesus' name. Can we have a praise break? Wow. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you might be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, we do all that we know to do, and then God will do all that he can do. So do all that we know to do in the crisis, and then what do? Stand. What is that? Standing is spiritual warfare. The good fight of faith is standing. The good fight of faith. Remember the Apostle Paul, right before he was getting his head chopped off, he was in prison. What did he say? I run my race. I finished my race. I've kept the faith. What was he saying? he was saying that he stood after doing all the crisis demanded. He stood and he said, I fought a good fight of faith. The fight of faith that you hear all of us talk about is all over resisting. The fight is not getting in, you know, a ring with a natural opponent, a wrestler, a boxer, or whatever, karate or jujitsu. That's not what it's talking about. The good fight of faith is not natural. It's supernatural. The good fight of faith is simply resisting the devil every day. When he comes with thoughts that creates feelings about your health, your wealth, your marriage, your children, your job, your career, and what are we to do? Withstand that. Resist that. Stand against that. What are we to do? Tell the devil to shut up, get out of here in Jesus' name. I've done all the crisis demands. Stand firmly in your place. So how do we resist the devil? Number one, we need to realize that where he attacks is in our mind. Number two, be aware of what to resist. Be aware of what to resist. Pastor, I get that. Well, you know what? The majority of the body of Christ, they do not get that. Because the majority of the body of Christ believes that God puts sickness on you to teach stuff, and that's not in the Bible. And they receive it instead of resisting it. I heard a pastor say the other day, a great pastor was talking about his sister who was at a particular denomination, and she'd been taught wrong a certain doctrine, how that it was God's will for her to be sick. And in being sick, she was suffering for Christ. And this pastor went on to say that one thought held her in bondage most of her life, until one day that he got to go see her and tell her that it wasn't God's will for her to be sick. It was God's will for her to be whole, have life, enjoy life, to the abundance, to the full, till it overflows. And he said when he shared that with her, it delivered her immediately from her sickness and her infirmity. And what was that? Now she knew what to resist and what to receive. That's so important. Pastor, where do you find out what to resist and what to receive? In the Bible, in the Word of God, in the good book, in the Bible. That's where you find out what you should be resisting, and then what you should be receiving. That's huge. So aware of what to resist, receive right or wrong thoughts. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For the weapons of our warfare, so we're in a war, and we have been given weapons by God. Thank you, Jesus. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds with me. Strongholds. What is a stronghold? People got all kinds of different interpretations of what a stronghold is. But did you know that we need to be aware of what we should resist and what we should receive? We need to understand that a stronghold begins with a thought. A stronghold begins with a thought. And we got to be aware of what thoughts we should receive and what thoughts we should resist, what thoughts we should meditate on and what thoughts we should kick out, right? It goes on in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that would be the Bible, the Word of God, and Scripture. Bring into captivity, look at this. Every thought. Bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. It is so important that we understand that we are to manage our thought life, and our thought life is not to manage us. And notice that every thought matters. Every thought matters. It says that we should put a guard over our mouth. We should guard our heart. We should guard what we listen to and what we entertain and meditate on. And notice, we're to be really selective. We're really to be really picky. We're really to be cautious over every thought. And the thoughts that are not from God, we're to resist them. The thoughts that are from God, we are to receive them. We're talking right now about how to resist the devil. We're talking about where the battle is. It's in our mind. We've been talking about the strategy of our opponent, the devil, and he uses thoughts, and feelings. Have you ever felt like giving up? I have. I think we all have, if we're going to be honest. We've all felt like giving up. Well, when you feel like giving up, where do you think that feeling came from? A wrong thought. Where do you think that wrong thought came from? The devil. So what should we do at the very beginning? We should resist it. We should say, devil, shut up, get out of here, in Jesus' name, take our authority. Cast down every imagination, everything that exalts itself or contradicts the Bible. Bring it into captivity, every thought. How many thoughts? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. As Josh comes out, number three, last point, resist daily those thoughts and feelings. This is what we refer to as spiritual warfare. Resist those thoughts that aren't from God, that create feelings that aren't from God. We are to resist them every day. Look at James 4, verse 7. Here's what it says. So be subject to God. Here's the title of my message, resist. Can you say that with me? Resist. Resist the devil. What does that mean? Stand against. Stand firm against him. Every day of your life, throughout that day, many times throughout the day, you know, psychologists tell us of all the thousands of thoughts that come through our mind daily. You and I have got to be picky. We've got to manage our thought life. And those thoughts that aren't from God, that are creating feelings that aren't from God, they're from the devil. You are to resist them in Jesus' name. Take your authority. So be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and look at this, he will flee from you. There it is. That's what we do. When you feel like giving up, that's not from God. When you feel like doing the wrong thing, that's not from God. When you feel inferior, condemned, and guilty, that's not from God. When you feel depressed, discouraged, and worried, and angry, that's not from God. When you feel like walking away from your call, your career, God's purpose, that's not from God. When you feel sorry for yourself and you're living in a sorrowful, sad state and people, you're blaming people, that's not from God. So for you and I to be victorious through COVID and not a victim, you and I need to know how to resist the devil. And it all starts with managing your thoughts, which you'll be then managing your feelings. It starts there. Be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, he'll flee from you. And the last verse, Ephesians 4:27. I love this. Leave no room. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give him no opportunity. How do I give him a foothold? How do I give a devil an opportunity? By thinking and meditating and dwelling on the wrong thoughts, on the wrong feelings. By thinking and feeling the wrong thoughts, by entertaining what he's saying to me, to you, that create the wrong feelings, we're giving him a foothold, we're opening the door, and if we meditate on those thoughts and feelings long enough, they go from our head to our heart. And when they get in our heart, they have a hold of us. We have a ministry here every Thursday night that help people get free from things that are holding them down, holding them back, holding them hostage, habits, addictions, hurts. It's called Celebrate Recovery. Check it out. We have small groups that can help you with that. Check them out. So I hope I've helped you tonight or whenever you're watching this. I hope I've helped you on how to resist the devil and where do you start by managing your thought life and watching over your feelings, because that's his strategy, and that's where it starts, the spiritual battle. Let me pray with you right now. Can I, before we close the service, I want to give you an opportunity that you say, Pastor, through COVID, you know what? I'm ready for God. I'm ready to get back in church. I'm ready to get into a small group. I'm ready to start a small group, a watch party. You can do it all over the world. You can be part of Church on the Rock. All over America, you can be a part of Church on the Rock, right there where you're at. You say, Pastor, I'm ready for God. I'm ready to get back with God. Pastor, I've gone through, this has been the worst season of my life, and I'm ready to get my life on track. I'm ready to get my priorities correct. I'm ready to get back, and I want a solid foundation for the next season. I want God. I want God in my life, my family, my marriage, my career. I'm ready, Pastor, pray for me. I want to lead you in this prayer. And those of you that maybe you felt like you've gone too far, that God wouldn't forgive you, that you're a Christian, but yet you got hang-ups. We've all got hang-ups. Don't let your hang-ups hang you. Give them to God. Unload your hurt right now to God. Unload your hang-ups right now to God. Give God a chance. God is the God, I love this, of the second chance. God is the God of the second chance. Let me pray for you. If that's you in either case, repeat after me right now, would you please? Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.